last week, if you were here, second service, you know this, but first service, of course, you missed it, but Dan North and Joanne Markham were both baptized into Christ last week. And let's give them a hand. And are either of them here right now? That was second service, right? Did I have it right? Okay. All right, we'll introduce them, give them their certificates. And we also have a baptism second service. Doc has a patient that he's been working with and talking with, and he came to church a few weeks ago, and he and I talked this week, wants to give his life to Christ and enter a watery grave. So we have that going on second service, as well as, of course, baccalaureate. So we have grads coming, and graduating seniors are really good at RSVPing. I don't know if you knew that. Yeah, like as of Tuesday, I had four. Like, okay, something's wrong here. So we started reaching out and make some phone calls, and we're up to 15 that we know of that are coming, but I'm praying 100 come, and that these gifts won't even touch it, right? So just have to order some more. Baccalaureate's kind of one of those things that's gone by the wayside with our high schools. I don't know what it was like when you were a kid. If I remember correctly, it was we had baccalaureate in the morning and then commencement in the afternoon is kind of how I remember it. And I went to a Christian college, so it was, of course, a big part of that. And so when I got out and had kids and they're growing up and they weren't having baccalaureate, it was just kind of strange to me. And so we're just doing something different this year, and really pray for it, because we've matched up each graduating senior with a couple or someone in second service to be their prayer partner. And so, I don't know who's going to show up. We may have some. And so I'm just hoping that people will step up and pray, and we're just going to pray over them. And just have a really nice time with them and sharing and charging with them. And because I'm a lazy preacher, I really didn't want to write two sermons. So you're going to get a version of what they're going to get. It'll be a little bit different for you, hopefully. But we'll do that. And also at a wedding yesterday, Dale and Lisa. Dale, Lisa, stand up. Congratulations. Yep. And I just showed you them that just to show you how hard of a worker that I am. And so you'll give me a break this morning. No, we're very happy to celebrate with Lisa and Dale yesterday. Remember when they were like giddy teenagers holding hands walking through the hall about a year ago, right? That was fun to celebrate with them. Well, we're in the series called Eye Contact. If you haven't had your picture out front with the contact, please do so. You're the eye. These next two sermons, today's and then next Sunday's, really relate to all of us. Not just parents that are raising up kids, or grandparents or whoever. This is a message, and next week's message really relate to all of us, because in John 1 it tells us that when we give our lives to Christ, we earn the right to be called children of God. And so we are children of God, and so what I'm going to share today absolutely applies to you and me both as we're on this journey to become like Jesus, right? That's what we want to do. We want to become like Jesus. And it's a long journey, and for some it's a very difficult journey, and for really all of us, we have those tough bumps along the way, and so we want to talk about that in these next couple of weeks. But today, we started off about talking about children, the blessing that they are, how they are the weapon for the future, and how we prepare them and equip them and shoot them out into the future will determine how we are battling sin in our community, how we're sort of thriving as a church and growing as a church, because we won't be here. We're shooting our kids out there to be the hands and feet for us as the future of this church depends on how well we raise these kids. And we then had a message for moms, and we had a message for dads. And last week with our message with dads, our prayer was that God would give you a glimpse just this week of what it will be like being in glory, right, and telling your story and singing around the throne of God with your family with you. And you know that Seven Habits of Highly Effective People, I think it was written by a Mormon or something, but the first one is like start with the end in mind. And so we want to start this journey with the end in mind, and the end being that I want to be in heaven with my family worshiping Jesus for all of eternity. Okay, so we start with that end in mind. Well, today I want to talk about, okay, the journey between, all right, here I am, I'm living my life, and that's where I want to be, but what do we do in the meantime? What's the best course of action to take in order to have us on that path to be around the throne of God someday? And we, of course, know that accepting Christ is that first step of just saying, you know, put me second and Him first. And following Him and surrendering to Him in a watery grave of baptism, and that's the start. But then how does that journey go to help lead our kids and ourselves be on that journey to look like Jesus and to be in glory with Him? And so I want to look at that today. But here's the deal. I can talk to you about it, and I can read as much scripture to you as I want. but we still got to do it. And it is so difficult because we are in the minority. We are absolutely, as Christians, in the minority of people that are trying to walk and look like and become like Jesus. The world does not want that of us. Right? Satan is prowling around like a roaring lion looking for someone to devour. And he's got easy prey out there. It is so easy for him to turn people away from Jesus or to keep their eyes off of Jesus. And they just want us to come along with them. And it's very easy to be able to fall into a trap of saying, I'm not on a path to be like Jesus. And the things that I'm going to share with you today are not necessarily easy things to do. The words are going to sound easy, but the challenge itself before us is very difficult because the majority of what we're faced with day in and day out is not encouraging us on that path and on that trail. How many of you have a computer in your home? Yeah. You realize that second service, I'm going to have all these graduating seniors in front of me. And I don't think that any of them will have known what it was like to grow up without a computer in their home. Isn't that weird? Yeah, you and I both know what it's like, right? Adults, we know it's like, yeah, when computers came in, I don't know, mid-90s, I guess, when everybody started having them in their homes or whatever. But there's something weird about computers, especially early on, is that you would be doing your thing and, you know, playing solitaire or free cell or whatever it is. I know, I'm on to you, right? And you're playing, and all of a sudden your computer just what? Just freezes up. Like, for no apparent reason. So what do you start to do? Pound the keys, right? You know, and you're just surely something's going wrong with this computer. And somebody technical knows all the reasons why, but you and I, the average user of a computer, just sitting there staring at this thing saying, what in the world's going on with this? Well, the smart people of the computer world invented these three keys that are just amazing keys, right? It's like a vitamin D shot. And that all you have to do when something's not going right, or you're not seeing what you want, or you just want to start over, is you hit Control, Alt, Delete, right? Those are wonderful buttons on the computer. Because so oftentimes we're just clicking, we're going through, and suddenly it's like, hey, my computer, what's going on with this thing? And we hit those three buttons, and it used to be anyway, if you hit them twice, it would just restart your computer. But you have the task manager come up, and then it gives you these options to say, okay, I can work from this. But basically what was happening with our Control-Alt-Delete button is it was refreshing and giving us a new view of what was in front of us so that we could start somewhere fresh and either get back to where we wanted to be or just start over fresh from where we wanted to go and to head in the direction that we wanted to be. And so I want to talk today about what it would mean to Control-Alt-Delete our lives in order to be on a path that will lead us to Jesus. All right? And as I just said that, I thought, boy, deleting your life, that really doesn't sound good. But trust me, it's going to make sense, okay? So open up to Proverbs chapter 3. Proverbs chapter 3. Again, Proverbs is this book that was written. It's the words of wisdom from Solomon, right? The words of wisdom from Solomon. And Solomon was a king. He was David's son. His mother was Bathsheba. God said, ask for anything that you want and you'll have it. He asked for wisdom, a wise and discerning heart, so that he could lead the people of Israel well. And so God gave him that, as well as riches and treasures. And then he recorded, we have this recording of all this wisdom that Solomon had from God. And Proverbs chapter 3, it's just a great chapter. And I know I've asked you to memorize a lot of different verses. In fact, how you doing with that so far? How you doing with Proverbs 22:6? Doing all right? How confident are you? Ready? Train up a child in the way he should go. Even when he's old, he won't part from it. Yeah, nice job. You're doing pretty well. How many of you are faking it? Wait until I said the words, then you can say it with me. All right, that's all right. All right, you only got a couple weeks left. And so keep that one in front of you. Proverbs chapter 3, starting in verse 1. We're going to read the first 12 verses. There's a couple of really popular verses in there that you're going to recognize, but I want us to look at the whole first 12 verses there, okay? My son, do not forget my teaching, but let your heart keep my commandments, for length of days and years of life and peace they will add to you. I love that beginning. Do you like that? That's pretty awesome. Let not steadfast love and faithfulness forsake you, so don't let them leave you. Bind them around your neck, write them on the tablet of your heart, so you will find favor and good success in the sight of God and man. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. That's the popular one. Do not lean on your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge him, and he will make straight your paths. Be not wise in your own eyes. Fear the Lord and turn away from evil. It will be healing to your flesh and refreshment to your bones. Honor the Lord with your wealth and with the first fruits of all your produce. Then your barns will be filled with plenty and your vats will be bursting with wine. My son, do not despise the Lord's discipline or be weary of his reproof. For the Lord reproves him whom he loves as a father the son in whom he delights. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for your word that we can open up this morning and share with one another. We thank you for the wisdom that you gave Solomon to be able to pass on not only to the Israelites and to his own children, but to us, that we might be able to learn from them and pass them on to our kids as well, or the next generation. And I pray as we walk through this passage of Scripture that you would open our eyes to what it means to have a fresh view on life, so that our eye contact is with you and you alone, Father God, and that we will be on a path and a journey to look like Jesus. It's in his name that we pray. And all God's people said, amen. When I think about the Christian life and the things that I was faced with as I left Kalkaska, or even as I was growing up in Kalkaska, but mostly when I left, I went 14 hours away to college. I didn't have parents, friends, family. In fact, my dad actually had to be somewhere the day I was supposed to be in orientation. And so I was like dropped off 14 hours away. I had a car with no license plates on it. Sitting in this place in East Tennessee, and mom and dad said, hey, see you later. All right, here we go. How am I supposed to eat? Right? And just drop you off. And so even in the first moments of college, when you start to be introduced to all these different people, you're introduced to all these different thoughts and ways of thinking and ways of living. And I basically was, I could have gone one of two ways. I could either choose to say, okay, I'm a Christian and I'm going to follow Jesus because that's who I am and what I want to do and because I love him and I want to glorify him. Or I could have said, you know what? I'm on my own. I'm no longer under mom and dad's roof. No more rules or whatever that they're holding over me. No, they're not even around. They don't even know what's going on. There's no cell phones, none of that kind of stuff. So I can do whatever I want. And I could just choose to take this other path. And it's not even so blatant all the time, this path that is away from Jesus. Sometimes it's very subtle, right? Jesus asks us to take up our cross daily and follow him. That's a pretty tough ask. Well, the world just says, you don't have time for that. Just come over here and do some things that you'll enjoy, that you like to do. And so we have the opportunity just to kind of nudge slowly away and follow this path that leads to me being God, right? And the things can be very subtle. Jesus, or God said in this passage of Scripture, this wisdom he gives to Solomon, he says, give of the first fruits of your land. That's not a cultural thing to do. In fact, the average member of a church in North America gives like 2% of their income to church, right? So the first of your fruits, we know if we look through the Old Testament, is a tenth or a tithe is what's talked about. We'll talk about it actually this fall. But it's not a normal thing. It's not a cultural thing to do to say, I'm going to take the first of my fruits, all the income that I have, and take the top 10%, the top whatever it is that God's laid on my heart, and give it over to the church to be able to use for kingdom work. The cultural thing to do is, man, I worked hard for that money. I'm going to go spend it on me and use it for me because that sounds more fun to do it for me. And what I'm trying to suggest here, say to you, and I think that we've all been there, is that once we leave mom and dad's nest, and maybe even when we're under mom and dad's roof, we have this choice to make. Am I going to follow Jesus or am I not? It's really just a two-pronged road. It's not a fork in the road with three. It's just two. I'm either going to follow Jesus or I'm not. And Solomon is giving this wisdom. He's sharing it with his family, with his sons, and he's sharing it with us that we might be able to look at this and say, how can I get a fresh perspective on what it means to live my life in a way that God would be pleasing and that would be in his direction? And when he starts out in his in this Proverbs chapter 3, don't forget my teaching. Remember my commandments. There's only one way to remember his teaching and to know his commandments. And you know what that is? You've got to open it once in a while, right? This is the place we're going to find out about his commandments. This is the place we're going to find out about his teaching. This is the place we're going to find out about who God is through his word. And so if we're going to bind them around on our heart or wear them on our heart and bind them around our neck, we have to open it and know what's in it in order to function and say, okay, if I have these two roads to choose, and I have to decide if I'm going to follow Jesus or if I'm not, I better understand what it is that Jesus wants me to do. Is that a fair statement? I just asked that question so I could take a drink. All right. So don't forget my teaching for length of days and years of your life. And in verse 2, it says, for length of days and years of life and peace, they will add to you. I think sometimes as a Christian, even we lose sight of the promises that God gives us. We lose sight of the absolute surety of what God promises, the things in His Word. If I told you right now, I know that there's a one armed bandit. What do they call those things? A slot machine, right? I told you how often I'm over there. And here's a $100 chip. And I know that if you go in, count three of them to the left when you first go into the whatever, I really don't know the place, and put this in and pull it, it's a guaranteed jackpot. Guaranteed $50,000 is going to come out of that machine. Right now, no ifs, or ands, or buts. I got people watching it, guarding it. I know the machine. I wrote the code for it. And so if you go and put that in, it's going to come out. How many of you would take me up on it? Liars. I'd do it, right? If I told you when you had a son, I'm going to teach you how to raise him up so that he will play basketball like Michael Jordan. Fame, glory, but all kinds of cash. Guaranteed, no ifs, ands, or buts about it. This is how you do it. Follow this path. It's a guarantee. How many of you would do it? How many of you, if I said, all right, he guarantees stock market. Warren Buffett's my best friend. He gave me the five best stock tips for 2016. Put your money there right now. He guarantees it'll triple the money that you put in there. How many of you be going running to your whoever it is that you have do that kind of thing? God says, listen, if you learn my commandments, if you live by this, if you trust me, long will be your days. Peace will be in your life. He gives us promises that are absolute sureties. This is 100% proof. If we believe in God, we believe that everything that He tells us is truth, right? Then why would I not follow His Word as He gives me these promises? All right, we need to move on here. Bind them around your neck. Write them on the tablet on your heart so that you will find favor and good success in the sight of God and man. What does that sound like? Remember 2 weeks ago when we talked about Jesus staying back at the temple and Mary and Joseph were a little upset with him because, hey, where'd you go? They were a day away, so they had to come a day back and they looked for him for a day. And they was gone for 3 days from their sight and they were pretty upset about this. And then they had this interaction with Jesus. He went back with them. He lived obediently to them. And then what does it say in Luke 2:52? And Jesus grew in wisdom and stature and what? In favor with God and in favor with man. That's what Jesus was doing. And this passage of scripture right here says that if we write them on the tablet of our heart, if we bind them around our neck, what? The commandments and also His teaching. If we don't forget His teaching, keep His commandments, and we keep them close to us, we're going to find that same favor and that good success with God and with man. We go on to this awesome verse, a couple of verses that are on tablets and are on plaques that are even in some of these gifts right here. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Trust in God means that we give over control of our life. Trust in God means that we give over the control in our life. If I'm going to trust Him, Hebrews 11 tells us that faith is the assurance of things hoped for and the conviction of things not seen. If I'm going to trust in God with all my heart, it means that I need to give over my control to Him. I need to trust that He's got it. Because when I'm following Jesus and I'm following His commands, or I'm following the way that He taught me to serve others, wash people's feet, show compassion, take time out of my busy life to have discipleship relationship and to have small group and be in community with other people, as I'm taking my time to do that, where the world would say that's silly and that's just a waste of time, I'm trusting that this is glorifying God and that He's going to bless that. That He's going to bless that. As I'm dating and I decide I'm going to save myself for marriage and I'm going to live my life according to how God would have me live my life when it comes to relationship with another, And when we go into marriage, I'm going to trust that He's going to honor that and bless that marriage because I've followed the way that He wants me to live. Right? Trusting in God means that I give over control to Him. And I trust that He's got my back. Because again, the things of the Bible don't make sense to the rest of the world. Because they're things like serve and love and others first and you second. In order to do that, we have to trust in God. And trusting in God means that we give over control to our life. So we trust in the Lord with all our heart and do not lean on your own understanding. Do not lean on your own understanding. Leaning on God's understanding means that we're listening to that alternate voice. We're listening to that alternate voice. When we give our lives to Christ, Peter, when he's preaching in Acts 2, he said, repent and be baptized, every one of you, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. Right? That was a mid-sermon test to see if you're awake. Right? The gift of the Holy Spirit. And we read in John that the Holy Spirit, Jesus said, it's good I'm leaving you. I'm going to go and ask the Father to send you the Holy Spirit, that He will live inside you. He'll guide you. He'll instruct you. Paul said to the church in Corinth in 1 Corinthians chapter 3, I can't talk to you as spiritual people. You've accepted Christ. You've been baptized. You have the Holy Spirit inside of you. You're not listening to Him. And so inside of my head, I have these two voices. I have the voice that Andy is telling myself to do because everything sounds good to Andy is the things I want to follow. And I have the Holy Spirit speaking to me and saying, Andy, that's not glorifying to God. Andy, is that really the place that you want to go, that you want to be, that you want to say, that you want to watch, that you want to talk to? Is that really what you want to do to honor the God who saved you by the blood of His Son? And I have this alternate voice in my head and I could either listen to it or not. When I'm going to lean not on my own understanding, but lean on God's understanding in His will, in His ways, I'm going to listen to that alternate voice, so to speak, the Holy Spirit. And He's talking to you. He's telling you. He's convicting our hearts. When there's sin in our life, He's the one that's saying, that guilt, it's like, oh, nah, not what I want to be. And so we're called, like Peter said, to repent. Repent from those things. But we can only do that if we're listening to that alternate voice. So lean not on your own understanding. Next, it goes on to say, in all your ways, acknowledge Him. In all your ways, acknowledge Him. You know, we're real quick when things are not going well to acknowledge God, aren't we? But we don't usually acknowledge Him by praising Him when things are going bad. We acknowledge Him by shaking our fist at Him when things are going bad. I did a funeral a week and a half ago or so, and I was talking to the sister of the lady that had passed away, and she said, Andy, I just want to shake my fist at God. I'm just so angry about this. And we stopped, and I said, well, I said, you're shaking your fist at the wrong person. Genesis chapter 3, man sinned. And when man sinned, bad stuff happens. We all will die. It's not what God's plan was. God wanted everybody to live forever and be in this wonderful place that He created for us. Right? He made Adam and Eve. They didn't even know they were naked. Everything was great. They were naming the animals. Things were growing. No weeds, none of that. Everything was wonderful. As soon as man sinned, everything fell apart. And so when bad things happen, we're tempted to shake our fists at God and say, how could you let this happen? How can bad things happen to good people? How come people are starving? How come? We're shaking our fists at the wrong guy. Man sinned. When man sinned, everything went into chaos. And Satan started weaving his way in and tripping people up and causing people to shake their fist at God instead of man. In all your ways, acknowledge Him. When times are tough, acknowledge that God is there. He gives us promises. He wants to work in our life. He wants good things to come to us. But He wants us to rely on Him, trust in Him, give Him praise, and give Him glory. In all of our ways, acknowledge Him. And I think it's the toughest time when things are going great to acknowledge God. And that's probably the time when we need the most to stop what we're doing and praise God for all that He's done for us, all that He's blessed us with, for the beautiful sunshine that we have outside, for the baptisms we're experiencing today. It's not about the people that converted them to Christianity. It's about God who saved their heart. And we need to give Him glory and Him honor. For all these kids that are graduating, and some of them by the grace of God, we need to stop. That was supposed to be funny. We give praise to God that they're able to grow up and that they're able to leave the nest and go off and be the men and women that God called them to be. In all your ways, acknowledge Him. And this is what happens. When we acknowledge Him as Lord, we delete ourselves from that position. We delete ourselves from that position. But we have to acknowledge Him. If we don't acknowledge Him, we keep ourselves as God. Again, back to Genesis 3. Eve didn't say that fruit, yeah, it may have looked luscious, and it wasn't that she didn't have all this other fruit, but Satan said, you know what, you'll be like God if you eat this. And that sounded pretty good to her. And you and I are the same way. Every single day we say, I want to make this decision. Why? Because it's my world, my universe, my life I'm living. This sounds good. This looks good. I want to do this. And yes, we get whiny just like that. But we need to acknowledge God. And as we acknowledge God, we delete ourselves from that position and say, He is Lord, not me. And as we acknowledge Him as God, what does it say in the rest of that verse? And He will make your paths straight. He'll make it straight. Next week, Dan's going to preach for us. And he's talking about the pitfalls that come along life's journey, the things that like to sneak up and bite us and drag us away, and looking out for those things. But it says right here in this passage of Scripture in Proverbs 3 that if we acknowledge Him as Lord, deleting ourselves from that position, He'll make our path straight. It's another promise that we have that if we trust in Him, follow Him, lean on His understanding, acknowledge Him as God, that He's going to straighten our path. He goes on in this passage of Scripture to say things like, you know what? Relish when you're disciplined by God, because He's just trying to keep you on that path. When something's not going right, maybe He's trying to get your attention to say, you know what? You've taken your eyes off of me. And He wants us to acknowledge Him again. But it's only when we give over control of our life to God, when we acknowledge His wisdom and that listen to that alternate voice and delete ourselves from that position, that we'll be on the path that God wants us to as we're traveling life's journey to be like Jesus. And I'm going to give you three ways real quickly in talking about what we need to do or what we can do in order to keep ourselves on that path. 1 and 2 Timothy 3, 16 and 17, it says this: all Scripture is breathed out by God and profitable for teaching, for reproof, for correction, and for training in righteousness, that the man of God may be complete, equipped for every good work. Is there any other two verses that you could go to convince you that we need to be in God's Word? We need to control what's going in. We need to control what's going in. And if the only control that you are using to control what goes in is the remote control, we're missing something. You know, the computers in your household, that I think the average now that a boy looks at pornography is like 12 years old. When computers first came out, we had this saying, garbage in, garbage out. You remember that? Whatever you put in, it's always user error, because whatever you put in is spitting out garbage for you. We have to control what's going into our heart, what's going into our soul, what's going into our mind. And it has to start with God's Word. Why? It's all breathed out by God. How can we not trust it? How can we waver away from God's Word even a little bit, knowing all that is in it, to tell us about who God is, what He desires of us, and the promises that He has for us? We've got to be in God's Word. We have to make it a daily, daily thing. There is so much in this book, so many rich promises in this book, so many rich things in this book about who He is, that I don't know how we're able to put it down. I don't know how we're able to do it. But we have to control what's going in. For the graduates this afternoon, or this morning, in talking with them, I'm going to say, listen, as soon as you enter that college campus, or when you go into that workforce, the secular workforce all around you, there's going to be a lot of things that want to come in. A lot of stuff. And it may not even seem so bad initially, but it can take you down this slippery slope of sin that just leads you so far away from Jesus that someone someday is going to talk to you about Jesus and you're going to say, wait a second, I don't even know who that is. And we have to control what's coming in. 1 Thessalonians 5, 16 through 18 says this: rejoice always, pray without ceasing, give thanks in all circumstances, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. We need to be pleading with that alternate voice, crying out to that alternate voice. We need to be praying to God through Jesus Christ and the Holy Spirit that's living inside of us without ceasing. Now, does that mean I'm driving down the road with my eyes closed? No. It just means I'm in a constant state of prayer. asking God to guide me, help me understand Him more, knowing who He is. Pray without ceasing. And before that it said, rejoice always. Even in the difficult times, we rejoice. Why? Because we're acknowledging God. Give thanks in all circumstances, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus in you. His will for us is to give Him praise in all circumstances, not just when times are great. In all circumstances. And so we need to control what's coming in. We need to plead and pray to that alternate voice. And then in Hebrews 10, 24 and 25, it says this, let us consider how to stir up one another to love and good works, not neglecting to meet together, as is the habit of some, but encouraging one another, and all the more as you see the day drawing near. Folks, we need to delete some of the bad influences in our life. It's probably more for young people, but we're all kidding ourselves as adults if we don't think we have some bad influences in our life. And sometimes we say, well, it's all for the sake of evangelism. I need to go on, I need to share God's word with the unchurched. And hey, I get that and I love that. But there are some places you shouldn't go evangelize because it's not helping you. It's not helping your relationship with Jesus. We need to stir one another on to love and good works. We need to equip one another so that we're ready to do the good works that God created us to do, Ephesians 2:10. And we can only do that if we are in some kind of community where people are encouraging us, lifting each other up, holding each other accountable, sharpening one another, which can be painful. But we need to be in those environments if we truly are going to stay on this journey, on this path to become like Jesus. And isn't that our goal? Is that not the journey that we should be on, is to be like Jesus? You know, when you hit the Control-Alt-Delete button, if you just hit one of them, just by itself, nothing happens. You ever notice that? Just hit Control, nothing. Alt, now Delete button, it'll take you backwards if you got anything on the page. And if you hit Control and then another key, something else comes up, an alternate and another and something else. But when you hit all three of those together, we get a fresh screen. We get this task manager, or maybe we restart our computer and we have this fresh look in front of us. We need to have eye contact on the journey that God has paved out before us. And it only happens when we give over control of our life to Jesus and submit to His leadership. As we trust in Him and listen to that alternate voice, the Holy Spirit inside of us, directing us and helping us which way to go. And we delete ourselves as God of our lives and put Jesus there. Control plus alt plus delete. Means a fresh start, a fresh life, and a journey to become like Jesus. Let's pray. Father, thank You for Your word again. Thank You for giving us a recipe, Father, of what it means to be on a path that leads to heaven, that leads to eternity, that leads to becoming like Jesus. Father, we want to repent right now. Because we know that in life's journey, there have been many times when we've jumped over to the other trail, the other path. Or we've been swerved away or tempted away on this path that is one of worshiping and glorifying You. We want to repent of that, Father. We want to put ourselves behind. We want to hit the Control-Alt-Delete button and get a fresh screen in front of us and have a fresh vision and this eye contact on You as our Lord and our Savior and follow You and become like Jesus. That's what we long to do, Father. And so we repent of those moments when we've been weak and we've strayed from the path. Lord, give us a clear vision, a clear sight of who You are and what You're calling us to be. It's in Jesus' name that I pray. Amen.